firm a foundation.
What happened next? Have you ever gotten to the end of the gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and asked yourself, so what happened next? Welcome to Through the Bible, and you'll be happy to know that there's a sequel to the Gospels, and it's the book of Acts. And today, we're beginning this great history book that picks up on the same day as when the Gospel of Luke ends. In fact, the same writer, Luke, writes the sequel. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will begin in just a moment in Acts chapter 1. First, though, I'm happy to welcome Greg Harris to the studio. So welcome, Greg. I see that you've brought one of my favorite things to share.
That's right, Steve. Letters. And these are a particularly special group of letters because they're actually from members of the World Prayer Team, which you talk about all the time.
Absolutely. And we will do it today at the end of this introduction.
We will. You're very consistent. I appreciate that. And what's really neat is once a year, near the end of the year, we say to the World Prayer Team members, which, by the way, our World Prayer Team is more than 4,000 members strong. Isn't that great?
And growing.
And growing.
Yes.
And we ask this group of people, write to us and tell us, what does it mean? What has the experience been like? What country has particularly been laid on your heart? And we have a couple of those letters.
Great. So, Greg, why don't you read that first one for us, and we'll go from there.
Yes, this one is from Bob, and he says, for the first time in all these years, I am following along with TTB on the five-year journey. I started in Matthew, and I'm so blessed every day as we travel through God's Word. I am so blessed by the letters you include in the daily email I get from you as a World Prayer Partner. I guess Vietnam would be a favorite because I served in the military there in 1970 and 1971.
Wow.
Yes, thank you for your service. I got along very well with many of the Vietnamese people that worked in our mess hall, so the country is special to me. I also am blessed by the letters you read on the program, and I love listening to Steve and Greg at the beginning of the programs. Well,
All right. Thanks.
Nice somebody enjoys this. We certainly do. He goes on to say, I pray for the entire TTB staff on a regular basis. Thank you so much, Bob, for that. He goes on to say, I am glad to share in the maintenance of the Bible Bus with my monthly contribution. May God continue to bless the Bible Bus ministry. I will close with my favorite sign-off by Dr. McGee. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, thank you, Bob, for that very encouraging letter. Here's another one. This is from Connie. She's in Somerset, Massachusetts. My home is located halfway between Providence, Rhode Island, and New Bedford, Massachusetts, two cities that are listed in one survey as the least biblically literate places in the United States.
Wow.
What a dubious honor. We have been using Dr. McGee's notes and outlines along with the scripture reading plan in our house churches. They have been an incredible blessing. Many of us were raised in another church and had no familiarity with the Bible at all. I want to tell you about just one example of how God has been using your ministry here. This is great. Just a few weeks ago, a man who has been coming to our house church blessed us so much with his comments. I wanted to pass his words on to you. He had been sitting in the Home Depot parking lot waiting for his children while he waited. He was reading the Bible and Dr. McGee's comments on Colossians. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit used these notes to illustrate the fact that he could be released from evil by the blood of Jesus. He said to himself, I have been saying the Our Father my whole life, and I didn't know I could be released from evil. I finally get it. He also said that if he had known the Lord earlier, that he would not be on his third marriage. He is feeling that with God, he will be able to make this marriage work. I am also enjoying listening to TTB online, and it has helped me so much in my walk with God. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Wow, so many things about that letter, Steve. Just the fact that this man is part of a group and how often people are hearing through the Bible in the context of relationship with other believers, whether it's house churches, small groups, churches. And, you know, we love reading those letters from around the world that tell us how groups of people are listening. I just love that. And that something great could happen in the Home Depot parking lot. It's so exciting.
Yeah. How about this one from Jeannie? Why don't you read that one from Fort Worth?
Yes, she shared this. Shortly after I was saved at age 21, I was listening to Christian radio and ran across Dr. McGee's program. As you have heard before, his accent threw me off, and I didn't listen faithfully. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've heard that before.
Yeah.
She goes on, then after 20 years of walking with the Lord, there came a terrible time far away from God that destroyed my marriage and ravaged my family. Still, all the while, I knew that Jesus was my only hope. I tuned in to KDRY in San Antonio, and there again was Dr. McGee. This time I realized the depth of teaching, and the Lord used his program to change my life and draw me back to Jesus. That was in 2001, and since then, Christ has been the center of my life. This morning I heard him say that in a congregation of 1,000 people, 900 acknowledged that they listened to Through the Bible, but only 100 of that number had ever written to say so.
Yeah.
I want to go on record as saying that I have been on the Bible bus faithfully for 15 years and recommend TTB to anyone who needs a daily time with Jesus. Thank you for continuing this program that brings so much glory to God. May it continue till Jesus comes.
You know, Greg, I think this letter from Jeannie is evident that of 1,000 people, only 900 people,
yeah,
they listen, but only 100 of them have actually written
yeah
in. And that's probably pretty indicative of the rest of our audience. So if you're part of that 90%, we encourage you to do two things. Write in today and then join our world prayer team, www.ttb.org/pray. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we open today's message?
Father, thank you for these faithful prayer warriors and many others we know who do pray for this ministry who aren't necessarily signed up for the World Prayer Team. Thank you for all the people that uphold this ministry in prayer. And thank you for your divine power that moves this ministry to the ends of the earth and is touching lives every day. Now touch our lives as we open your word to study it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, as we said a moment ago, the book of Acts has been called the fifth gospel. It's a continuation of the Gospel of Luke, but it's quite interesting to note something else, and this is quite remarkable. The last recorded fact about Jesus in the Gospels is as follows. In the Gospel of Matthew, the last recorded fact is the resurrection. That's in Acts 1. In the Gospel of Mark, the last recorded act is the ascension. That is in Acts 1. And in the Gospel of Luke, the last recorded fact is the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 1. And in the Gospel of John, the last recorded fact is the promise of the second coming. And that, my friend, you guessed it, is in Acts 1. All of that. So you see, all of the four Gospels have been poured, as it were, into a funnel, and they come down into this bottle or jug of the first chapter of the book of Acts and then open out into the book of Acts. The great missionary commission given in the four Gospels is also confirmed in Acts. Acts furnishes a ladder on which to place the epistles. It's a bridge between the Gospels and the epistle. And the New Testament without Acts leaves a great yawning gap. Now, the book of Acts records actually the beginning of the church, the birth of the church. It's interesting to note this. Genesis records the origin of the physical universe. Acts records the origin of the spiritual body, which is the church. Now, most of the books, we attempt to pull out of the book a verse that somehow or another is more or less the theme of the book. Now here in the book of Acts, of course, it would be Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now I have divided the book of Acts according to that. You find it works out something like this. You see the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in Jerusalem in the first seven chapters. Then chapters 8 through 12, you see the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in Judea and Samaria. Then in the last part, chapters 13 through 28, the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles to the uttermost part of the earth. And the book of Acts is not complete. It just breaks off, you know, with Paul in his own hired house in Rome. And that is it. There's no proper ending. You know why? Because the book of Acts is now being written from heaven. Maybe the Lord has Dr. Luke up there writing the rest of the book of Acts. And maybe you and I'll get in. I don't know. I hope so. It would be wonderful to find out that, well, let's put it like this. It may not be in the book of Acts, but it's in the book up there, what you and I are doing for him. It says at the end the books are going to be open, friends. And that is the thing that may frighten some of us, but it's going to take place. Now let me come back to the book of Acts, and there are several comments I would like to make that will help you in reading this. Now, for those of you who are studying the Bible with us, and this is a very simple method. I have no complicated outlines or complicated studies to present. I do not believe the Word of God should be presented that way. We do not approach it from the philosophical viewpoint at all. We approach it from the historical and biblical viewpoint. And we believe that it should be very simple indeed. And we believe that the Spirit of God can speak to us and through us in that way. And I thank the Lord that we receive so many letters from people in all walks of life. A professor in the University of Ohio, another professor down in Virginia, another professor up in the state of Washington, one in the San Francisco Bay Area, and then from a great many people that barely can read the English language, and they all testify to this. It is understandable, and that, my friend, is the nicest thing you could say about our Bible study, because if you want to know the truth, we believe that the Word of God must be made understandable. Now notice these features that if you will note them as you go through the book of Acts, it'll make this book more meaningful to you. You find, first of all, there is the prominence of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book. He's gone now. That is, in the first chapter, he ascends. But he's still at work. He's just moved his position, his location. He's moved his headquarters. As we said, we felt his headquarters were in Capernaum as long as he was here on this earth. His headquarters now at the right hand of the Father. And he's just simply removed headquarters from one place to another. And so you have here the prominence of the Lord Jesus Christ at work through the book of Acts, but from the vantage place of heaven itself. Now we have a second thing that we see in the book of Acts, and that's the prominence of the Holy Spirit. Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit. You find it mentioned in the Gospel of John about four times. And then here in the book of Acts, he promised it. Now this is the age of the Holy Spirit that you and I live in. The great fact of this age is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in believers. That's the great fact of this age. Now you have the power of the church in this book. You will notice that there is a power that is in the church, and of course that's the working of the Spirit of God that, my friend, is totally absent today from the church, and I don't care whose church that you're talking about. I have traveled across this country and up and down this country, and I think I know it fairly well. And I have heard people say, oh, there is a revival going on over yonder and over here and down there. And I've always tried to get to those places, but they ran out of revival when I arrived. Maybe I did something to stop it. I don't know. But it wasn't going on when I was there. That is what I would call a revival and what you have here in the book of Acts, the power of the church. And then you have the prominence of the church, both visible and invisible. Something new has come into existence in the book of Acts, and that is the church. Then you have the prominence of places. We gave you the outline a moment ago. We begin in Jerusalem. We'll end in Rome. And Sir William Ramsay checked all these places that Paul visited and Dr. Luke, and he found out how accurate he was. And then you have in this book the prominence of persons. Dr. Luke mentions 110 persons by name, besides reference to a multitude here and a mob here and a crowd here. I think by the end of the first century, there were literally millions of believers in the world. The church in those first 200 or 300 years had a phenomenal growth that has not been surpassed before or since by any movement at all. It was phenomenal, but it got slowed down, and it certainly slowed down today. But it's working out just exactly as the Lord said it was. Now we have the prominence of the resurrection. That is the center of gospel preaching. Now we today in the church have one Easter sermon a year. A preacher gets up one Easter sermon a year. I began many years ago preaching in August. If I was not away on vacation or in conference, I always made a point of coming up with Easter in August. And I want to tell you, people came just to find out what had happened to a preacher. They thought the heat was getting him, that he had the idea there was Easter in August. But in the early church, there never was a sermon preached but what the very center and heart of the message was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter began on the day of Pentecost. That was his theme, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He says, what is taking place here is because he's up yonder. And he has sent the Holy Spirit into the world. And it's all due to the resurrection. And you find Paul made the resurrection the very heart of his message. I believe today that if anyone wants to ride a hobby, and there are a great many who ride hobbies in the Bible, a great many people like to take prophecy, others like to take the Keswick message, and others like to take some other facet or phase. Now, if you want to ride a hobby, let me suggest one for you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday was resurrection. It was Easter. He was risen. And they proclaim that everywhere. And that you find in the book of Acts. Then in chapter 8, there is the prominence of Peter in the first section and Paul in the last section. Now, there is a strange omission of the other apostles. The emphasis is upon the ministry of Peter, the ministry of Paul. And I think for a very definite reason. To begin with, Dr. Luke was acquainted with the ministry of these two men. He was an associate of Paul. And apparently, instead of the great many people thinking there was a disagreement between Peter and Paul, very candidly, I'm of the opinion that Dr. Luke and Peter and Paul got together a great many times, a great many talks, a great many things that are not recorded in the Scripture at all. May I come back to the seventh thing that I mentioned that was prominent, and that's the resurrection, to make this comment, because here's a verse that has been so, I think, twisted and distorted. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. How was he lifted up? Well, he was lifted up in resurrection, friends. Lifted up from the dead. That's the message today. And if that message is not given, oh, I don't care how much you talk about Jesus and how much you talk about how lovely he is. The important thing is he came back from the dead and says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I think the problem today has been the fact we're not preaching a resurrected Christ. The book of Acts does, and we'll have an occasion to put the emphasis there. Now, the proper title for this historical book has always been a problem here in the Bible I use, which is the Authorized Version. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. And you find that in other texts. The Codex Vaticanus manuscript calls it the Acts of the Apostles also. And others have called it the Acts of the Ascended and Glorified Lord. And I would rather think that the key is given to us in the first two verses of the first chapter. And if I may venture my own opinion, it would be this title, and this is a long one, of course, The Lord Jesus Christ at Work by the Holy Spirit Through the Apostles. I would say that that would be the title of this very wonderful book. Now let's come, therefore, to Acts 1 and look at this statement that we've just made. And you see now the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in Jerusalem. That begins with chapters 1 through 7. Now will you listen to Dr. Luke as he begins? The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Now that former treatise was the Gospel of Luke, of course. And Theophilus, obviously, is the name of a man, and his name means lover of God. Now he says, I wrote to you the Gospel of Luke. Now I'm sending to you this other further treatise of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, he began to do and teach. In the book of Acts, he continues to do and teach. And today, he's still at it, if I may use that expression. And he'll continue on with this present program until he takes the church out of the world. That is the picture that is before us. Now it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Spirit. Now, just because he was taken up to heaven didn't mean he didn't keep working, didn't keep doing and teaching. And now, from the vantage place of the right hand of God, after that, he through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit worked through the apostles, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So that you have here now, what do they call it in the army, this idea of passing of command from one man to another? Actually, we have here the Lord Jesus Christ, and he working through the Holy Spirit through the apostles, and on out to you and me where we are today. This is a remarkable statement, by the way. But we're not through with it. This is another one of these periodic sentences we talked about in the Gospel of Luke, and it goes on down through verse 4. I'm reading now verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that is, after his suffering and death, by many infallible proofs. Now, I want to emphasize that. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. There are 10 recorded appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. And his post-resurrection ministry, as revealed in his appearances, it has a more important bearing on the lives of Christians today than the 3-year ministry recorded in the 4 Gospels. Now, I have a book that's entitled The Empty Tomb. We sent it out at Easter time. That book has to do with the post-resurrection ministry of the Lord Jesus. And you remember Paul put it like this. Paul says, though we have known him after the flesh, we know him no longer after the flesh. You and I today know him not as the one who walked here 1900 years ago. But we know him today as the one, the man in the glory. As someone said, the church has lost sight of him. He's up there right now, this very moment, while I'm talking and while you are listening. He's up there, and he is there and is real. Oh, how real he is. I'm going to share with you a statement that came to me in a letter from a person who said they'd been a church member all their lives, and they went through all the little ritual, thought they were a Christian, but they had to come to the Word of God to find out they didn't even know him. And the wonderful thing they found out, not only did he walk here 1900 years ago, but he's alive today, and yonder at God's right hand, and they could come to him and know him as Savior. How wonderful that is. And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Now, the problem today with the unbelief of man is not in the facts. The facts are available. I wonder if anybody that's listening to me doubts the Battle of Waterloo and that Napoleon fought there. Now, very frankly, I believe that Napoleon lived, and I believe he fought the Battle of Waterloo. And I give you my word, I have very little evidence for it, but I believe it. And may I say to you, there's 10,000 times more evidence for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ than there is for the Battle of Waterloo. And yet, there are people today, they say they don't believe it. Where's the problem? The problem is in the heart, the unbelief, the natural tendency of man to run away from God as Adam did and turn his back upon God today. The problem, my friend, if you're listening to me today and an unbeliever, the problem is with you, not with the Word of God. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and if you really want to know, you can know. It's because you don't want to know. The problem is not in the mind. The problem is in the will. That is the thing that's all important. Now, I must stop there today. Oh, we're coming into a wonderful book, my friends.
If you'd like to read more from Dr. McGee on what it means to follow Jesus Christ, then go to ttb.org and click on the banner, How Can I Know God? At ttb.org/booklets, you'll also find many of Dr. McGee's sermons transcribed into booklets. Go to the resources section to find titles like Witnesses, After He Died, They Saw Him Alive, available for free download. Dr. McGee mentioned one today, The Empty Tomb, that is out of print and no longer available, but you will find many others that testify to the infallible proofs that we learned about today. If we can help you find any of these resources, please email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. We got a great study tomorrow as we witness the birth of the church and the first time the gospel is preached. See you then. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.